A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. There are in our church, alas, some for whom the exact details of word and action of the essence for a sacrament. In one diocese that I know, a priest was condemned by his bishop for baptizing a child in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier. And the bishop alleged that this baptism was invalid. And the priest has now been excommunicated for this and other breaches of the rules, such as not wearing approved vestments for Mass. Recently, we read of the death of Edward Schillebeck, a Belgian theologian who in many ways summed up the whole process of the Second Vatican Council. He was a Dominican, drawn to the Dominicans, as one of his obituarists says, by their characteristic openness to the world, their love of study, and their commitment to preaching as the expression of theology. His writings over a very long period dealt largely with the sacramental presence of God in the real world. He saw that God was not confined by mechanical ideas of matter and form, and he showed that the story of Jesus is the story of God in human salvation. Now, we are often reminded that the Gospels do not record history as we understand the word, and they're not biographies or novels. I believe we can see in Luke's Gospel, anyway, an unfolding of a drama. And like all dramas, it builds up in a series of minor climaxes to the death and resurrection of Jesus. I like to look at those minor climaxes because each one is in some way a turning point for Jesus. The obvious one is the Transfiguration, which leads Jesus to set out on the road to Jerusalem. But today's reading is, I think, actually the first of those turning points. following the temptations in the desert, Jesus has made a decision about what he is called to. And today he takes the first step on that journey, the decision to proclaim the word of God. And the word he will proclaim has to do not with power and influence and control, but with good news and healing and liberation for the poor and the underprivileged. And that decision of Jesus to proclaim God to human beings is crucial to the Christian experience. It was the crucial discovery of Edward Schillebecks too. And like Jesus, Schillebecks insisted on bringing the presence of God into the real life of real people. In Jesus' case, the poor, the imprisoned, the disabled, the people on the margins. And people like that could not experience God through rules and set procedures and ceremonies. How did the people of first century Palestine experience the presence of God? Through the healing, the compassion, the breaking of rules, the human touch of Jesus. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we should get rid of all the sacraments, that we just dump the wonderful symbolic aspects of the water of baptism, the life-giving bread of the Eucharist, the oil of healing. Are rules unnecessary? Of course not. There are some Christian groups who reject ritual and rules and maybe leave it to some mystical, magical moments as people determine for themselves. That's just silly. Of course people need to find a shared means of forming a moment for the presence of God to become real. But we need to recognize that God does touch people outside the rules laid down by institutions like the church. And heavy-handed regulation does not further the work of Jesus to proclaim the kingdom of God. We need to recognize also that the touch of God comes not just in an ordered and ritualized act, but in moments of everyday life, even in unexpected moments. It can even come amid tragedies like Haiti. Proclaim the kingdom of God. Discover the presence of God in your life. That's what matters. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.